Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. You're listening to episode 249 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here at Hydratite's Brazil facility in Niterói. And that's the noise my colleagues make. We're actually here as part of the software implementation I've been doing around the world, which is why I keep turning up in odd places. And we'll have a chat with some of the gang in a bit, because Donna, who you've met before, hello Donna.
Hello.
We've definitely got to talk to you because we're going to hear a song about you in a bit, aren't we?
Yes, it is a song about me.
We'll talk about that. We'll get all the details a little bit later on. But we will have various interviews throughout the show today. We'll be finding out about the Willenhorn magazine. And also, we'll be talking to a Viking. That's with me and Zoe.
Should we go to the phones, Jason?
Oh, I think we should.
Yes, and... coming up soon in the next couple of weeks at the Grand Theatre, we have Beyond the Barricade, and starring in that is Andy Rees.
Hello.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. Now, do we class you as star or quarter star? How do we grade you?
Oh, he's a star.
Yeah, well, he's the man behind the music. I know that much. How are you doing? You keeping well?
I'm good. Thanks very much.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance for the catch up recently. Last time we spoke, you were doing Les Mis in Worcester or Malvern or somewhere over that way.
That's exactly right. Yes. So that would have been
12 months ago, probably.
It was last August, actually.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
Time flies. And now you're obviously touring with Beyond the Barricade and keeping yourself rather busy. And you're back in Wolverhampton on Sunday the 13th of April, and that's after you've done the Scotland leg of the tour.
That's correct. Yeah. We've really looking forward to this. We've been looking forward to this year for a long time, because we never thought we'd get to 15 years on the road.
Well, hang on. I'm sure we said something like that at 10 years as well.
We did. You've got a great memory. Absolutely brilliant memory. At 10 years, we said, no, you know, it's going to stop. And then, of course, here we are, 15, going into our 15th year, 2014. So we're trying to get around all of the venues that we've played over the last 15 years. And, of course, Wolverhampton has played a big part in that and supported us from day one.
And that's an amazing show, though. Come on, everybody's going to love it. You're doing a variety of different things from a number of different musicals. Always a good heavy handing of Les Mis based on the background, which we'll come back to in a moment or two's time. But you get a chance to pick some of the best love songs from a load of stage shows, take them out, dust them off, and sing them to your heart's content.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of been the backbone of Beyond the Barricade for the last 15 years, as you say, you know, taking the very best of Broadway and the West End, sticking it into a concert format, but making sure that we deliver the music and the singing as if people are actually sitting there in the show. So we hope to deliver what they get if they were going to see the shows themselves. You know,
and you can do that, though, because you've been in these shows. Give us the background to you and the rest of the gang.
Well, I mean, just for myself, I mean, I was very fortunate with my history with Les Mis. It went on and on and on. I first went into it as an actor and was playing it as some of the ensemble roles. And then I went on to play Valjean and Enjolras, for those who don't know, those two of the big leads in that. And then I was fortunate to actually go off stage and direct it as well. So that was kind of my background. And dragged along that road with me as an actor was David Fawcett, who was... played Valjean in the West End production and the Manchester production for a number of years, so that people will see him on stage. And then also we've got Rebecca Veer, who was Cosette on tour in Les Miserables and also in the West End. And then Katie Leeming, who played Eponine. And so these main names might not mean much to most people, but maybe a little bit more since the film came out, and everybody, even if you hadn't seen the show, there might be some knowledge there of these the kind of names from this classic musical.
But even if you haven't seen the show or the film, you still know the songs. I knew the songs the first time I saw you on stage, and you want to hear them again and again.
Yeah, that's the very, very fortunate for us in that the material, our source material, has stood us in good stead over the years. Obviously, Les Mis is now into its, 27th year and still going strong. And so is Phantom, you know, creeping up to 27 years as well. Blood Brothers, unfortunately, just finished a couple of years ago, so that would have made 25. So these are hell of a lot of long-running musicals that we can tap into. But also saying that, you know, we've got Spamalot in our show at the moment, which, you know, is quite current, obviously, with the Monty Python. It's just reopened again in the West End. And a major tour at the moment in the UK of the brilliant musical Wicked, which came over to our shores a few years ago now, but has just first time gone out on the UK tour. So we've got some Wicked in there as well.
That is supposed to be very good. I haven't seen it.
It is, but yeah. The music is just amazing. Yeah. So we can have a good sing of that. So not only are we kind of doing the old musicals, we're also able to put in some new stuff as well.
I suppose it's ideal really for not only the people that have actually been to see the original musicals, but for people perhaps taking their first step into musicals, and they can perhaps gauge what they want to go and see the full production of, which is
That is a really good, excellent point, because that's the kind of emails that we get. We get people that are coming along because they know that we've all been in. They see Beyond the Barricade and they know they've been seen before. They know that we've been in Les Mis, so they know there's a certain amount of quality they're going to get. Hopefully, we deliver that.
You do,
but then they're not on the other side of the coin. Is that even if they've never heard of Wicked before, and we do a couple of songs from there, with the emails that we get, we really like that section. We've never heard that musical before, so we're going to book up tickets and go see it. So it works both ways, yeah.
I just hope everyone they go and see is as good as you guys, to be fair, because you do put on an absolutely fantastic show. And because of that, I mean, you do your tour, you get flown over to cruise liners all over the place. It's one hell of a lifestyle, isn't it?
It keeps us busy. That's the good thing. And of course, Jason, you know all about flying all over the place at the moment.
Just a little, yes.
Keeping track of where you are is, oh my goodness.
Well, he's only here for a few days.
Well, I have flown back for 3.5 days before going back out to Brazil again. Yes, it is rather manic. But we have to get to football matches, don't we? So these things have to happen.
We certainly do.
And talking of which, I mean, you're a Wolves fan, you're a Staffordshire lad. So
yeah.
I mean, Wolverhampton really is the biggest venue you can play local to yourself, isn't it?
It is, absolutely it is. And you know, we've always had such a great response there, and I've got to say, you know, this time around it's looking no different at all. You know, the ticket sales for that particular concert are looking very healthy at the moment. So again, a big thank you to the people in Wolverhampton and the surrounding area for coming out and supporting us yet again.
Well, make sure you buy your tickets quickly. Sunday the 13th of April, 429212 in Wolverhampton, 01902 429212, grandtheatre.co.uk to pick your tickets up. Do you know how much they are, or should we just send them off to the website to look?
Do you know what? I don't know.
The artists never know, do they?
No.
And I haven't looked at the website recently, so I can't tell you either. But I know the number, 429212. Give them a call, sort the tickets out. They'd be great value for money, and whatever, even if they were £1,000 each, it'd be worth going to, but I know they're not. But if they were, it'd still be worth it. You wouldn't mind the money back on that either, would you? But there we go.
Not at all.
and it would be a great show as ever, and everything you put into it, whether it be through just the control at the end. There's lights, there's music, there's everything you could want, isn't there?
Yeah, we've got a nice, good looking show this year as well. We've thrown a few more of the kind of visual aspect at it as well.
A few more effects and things.
And with the old, the live band, that's very important for us, you know, that when people come along and see us, it is live. We don't mess about with it. We don't record it and sing to tracks or anything like that. So everything that you see and hear is happening in front of you.
Well worth getting along to. If you can't make it to the Wolverhampton gig, beyondthebarricade.com is the website to find out where else you're going to be. And you normally play Cannock around Christmas time. Are you heading over to the Prince of Wales this year?
We certainly are, yes. Yes, we'll be back in Cannock and hopefully Stafford as well. So we look forward to those two gigs. Particularly me, of course, because I have 20 minutes to get there.
This makes life a lot easier, doesn't it? Well, there we go. And you're on Facebook and Twitter as well, aren't you?
Yes, we are. Yeah, people can kind of dig us out on that on Facebook and Twitter. BT Barricade, it's called. But type in Beyond the Barricade and people will find us.
Search it and away you go. Andy, always good speaking to you, and we shall catch up with you again soon. But look forward to seeing the gig on the 13th of April.
Thanks so much for your time.
Cheers.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, back with Donna Schumann now. And Donna, the song we're going to hear, tell us a little bit about this track.
Well, it's a blues song. It's a slide guitar song. A gentleman from the United States in Wisconsin, where I live, He does the blues, and he's recorded several CDs. But one night he had a dream, and so one verse of the song is about me.
Tell us the name of the song, and tell us the name of the artiste.
The name of the song is Donna Mae, which is my name, and the artist is Paul Filipowicz.
Dreaming of my Miss Donna Mae, yeah. All in my dreams, I was dreaming of my Miss Donna Mae. I love my Donna Mae, I'm gonna marry her some old day, yeah. Well, I know my Donna Mae ever since she was a child. Donna Mae ever since she was a child. I love my Donna Mae, I'm gonna marry her some old day, yeah. Windshield wipers slapping time, I feel like I'm gonna climb up on that telephone line and talk to my baby on the telephone. See what you're gonna bring that saxophone all in my dream. I'm dreaming of my Miss Donna Mae, yeah. I love my Donna Mae, I'm gonna marry her some old day, yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
The phones.
Go on.
And this time we talk to a Viking from Wallheath who's got a mobile phone. It'll make more sense in a bit. David Wilcox, aka Eric Erickson. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Yes, now you're kind of Eric the Educator, aren't you?
Yeah, I suppose I am, really. I teach Viking and Saxon history all over the country.
In uni, in costume from the picture I've seen.
Now, how did this come about then?
Well, I have to say, I have to blame my brother, but it's a bit unfair because he can't defend himself anymore. But he had a business doing what I do now, and he got renal cancer 6 years ago, and he left me the business and everything else because I was starting to do work for him more and more as he got iller and iller, and then eventually when he passed away, I took it over completely. And I've been doing it ever since.
Oh, so it's a bit of a family business, yeah.
Yeah, well, my mum still runs the office at the grand old age of 76, but don't tell her I told you that.
Just 27, if anybody asks.
That's the one.
Yep. And it must be quite interesting, though, taking this and bringing history to life.
Oh, it is. You know, I mean, there is only so much children can learn from books and videos. And even when you go to a museum and you see the real artifacts, the one thing a museum will never let you do is touch them. And that's the one thing that I do let them do. Everything from the smallest little item to the most expensive.
Hmm.
They can touch everything.
Are the things that you carry, I mean, I presume some of them are replicas, that they're not going to be the original, but are they the same size and weight? And
oh, yeah, they're exactly. I have one or two genuine, real Viking artifacts. Mainly the smaller ones, things like spindle whorls for spinning and weaving. But, yeah, everything is exactly as a Viking or a Saxon would expect to see them.
Yeah, because that's useful as well, isn't it? The children getting to know how heavy something would be, and particularly like the swords and things like that, and how difficult it would have been to fight with them.
It is, I mean, to them it's a revelation that how heavy that. How did they fight with this?
Mm.
Well, I mean, the answer to that is most of them actually didn't, because swords, helmets and chainmail were very rare. You know, in fact, there's never been this moment in time a Viking helmet found in this country. Not one. Everybody would go, oh, what about the Jorvik helmet? I hate to tell you, but that's Saxon. Latin inscription across the top. And sometime or other, some big Viking must have killed a Saxon, took his helmet and got up to York with it. And that's how he got there. But it's definitely Saxon.
So all those movies we've seen with all those hundreds of fighters with all their chainmail and swords.
Mm-hmm. If you look at the pictures of the Bayeux tapestry, very few of the soldiers that are depicted on it actually got chainmail on. I mean, you're talking 50-odd, 60,000 links, each one handmade, no wire extrusion. It would have taken months to make. And it may, you know, very expensive.
Yeah.
It's an amazing bit of history, an amazing part of British and Europe's life in the past. And what sort of reactions do you get from yeah, the kids and yeah, very often the parents who see you go at these shows?
Well, I mean, the children are absolutely enthralled. I mean, they've seen Vikings. I mean, horrible histories are great. They're not always as 100% accurate, but it does make the kids think, yeah, I like that. It's blood, it's gore, it's, you know, yeah, that's what they want. But there's also the other side of it, that's the artistic side. You know, the detailed gold work and silver, the jewellery and all the rest of it. The girls go, oh, that's nice. You know, it's not that violent thing, it's all the same. You know, the Saxons weren't any better than the Vikings.
Mm.
And the parents, you know, when they get to see it, they're just as enthralled. I mean, on Saturday night, a colleague and myself, we spent the evening in the British Museum with 240 kids and their parents sleeping in the museum, and they spent an hour or so with me learning about warriors and whatever, and the parents were just as interested as the children.
when you're in character, are you quite fierce and quite foreboding, or you don't scare the children too much?
Well, I am 6 foot tall. I used to be a lot bigger than I am. I've recently lost a considerable amount of weight, but I'm not as foreboding as I used to be. But to an 8 and 9 year old, yeah, I am. You know, I'm huge, and I'm very loud, because you have to be to control sort of up to 120 kilo children sometimes. But by the end of the day, they're all, you know, they know I'm a big softy. They, you know, I mean, some of them will actually come up and give you a cuddle and say thank you very much, and you know, it's been a great day, and they always enjoy it.
Keep up the good work, and if you do, wish to book a Viking to turn up to something, how do you get in touch?
Right, well, the easiest way is to go to the website, and it's very easy, because it's www.longship.co.uk.
And is there a bit of interactive stuff on there as well, so people get a flavour of what you'll do?
There is. There's a full rundown of the days. There are worksheets, colouring sheets, quizzes, and all sorts for children and teachers to download. And there's lots of photographs and bits and pieces and all sorts of information, and of course, they can get in touch with us to book a day.
Well, if you run an educational establishment, or it would work for your school or whatever, please do get in touch. And it's a brilliant web address as well. Eric, a.k.a. David, thank you for joining us, and good to speak to you.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Is there a Viking greeting or a hello or goodbye that you could share with us before you go?
Well, I suppose the most common one most people would know would be "Was hail." It goes all the way back. It's a low goodbye and cheers, all rolled into one.
That's a fantastically convenient word, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's like saying, all right, mate, these days, isn't it?
That's the one.
Harry, great speaking to you. Thanks again.
Thank you.
No problem.
Ciao for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This one is candles and wine. Alex Van with candles and wine.
with a wish, seals it with a kiss, like dreamers do. Candles and wine, kisses and lies, wishes like ships that pass in the night, should never set sail in a stormy sea. Why do these things never happen to me? Candles and wine, kisses and lies. She finds a note on her doormat.
She hates it when they spell her name like that.
And she hates floral envelopes and tacky words of love.
It's her belief there's no such thing as love.
Clumsy letters spell the words not known at this address. She puts the letter in the bin.
What was he thinking of?
Candles and wine, kisses and lies, wishes like ships that pass in the night, should never set sail in a stormy sea. Why do these things always happen to me? Candles and wine, kisses and lies. Wine, kisses and lies, wishes like ships that pass in the night, should never set sail in a stormy sea. Why do these things keep on happening to me? Candles and wine, kisses and lies. It's the words of a lonely man, copies of verse from a paperback, a paperback.
Now, for the first time in a very long time, a magazine's been popping through the doors of the houses of the WV 11 and 12 postcode areas. It is the Willenhall magazine, and the man behind it, Stuart Dorrance. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
For having me on.
No problem.
I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, I'm all right.
That's good. Now, tell us how this version of the Willenhall magazine came about and where the idea originally sprung from.
Well, it was sometime in January. I was just chewing over the idea of having a Willenhall magazine, and then I suddenly noted that there had been 151 years ago. So
that's a bit of a gap, isn't it?
Let's go for it. It's about time it made a comeback, I thought. So I put plans in action, and then March was the release of the first issue. So
it's paid for by advertising, and it's free to those who receive it. And how many homes are you delivering to at the minute?
We're doing 10,000 magazines at the moment.
That must be hard work.
So it has been very hard work over the last few weeks. So if the line goes a bit quiet, I've probably nodded off.
You've been delivering all those yourself.
As long as you're not stapling magazines at the moment.
And so, and of course, we're getting the next one out as well. So yeah, so it's all good. Yeah, yeah, and I've had lots of positive feedback from people. So. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Is there like articles and things in there as well? It's not just going to be full of adverts.
No, that's right. I didn't want that. I didn't want the magazine to turn up on, you know, for someone's letterbox, and then I'm going to think, oh no, not that Woolly Mall magazine again. Just, you know, just completely full of ads. I wanted, you know, stuff in there about the history of Woolly Mall and a few funny things. Throw a few jokes in, and you know, stick a Woolly Mall word search in, and just. Keep it interesting, because then people are going to flick through, and they are going to read through it, and they are going to look at the ads as well, because at the end of the day, it's the advertiser that's paying for it. And obviously we want to try and encourage people to support the local businesses, and that's what it's all about, you know. Bringing the community together, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, definitely. So it is nice. I mean, I have one similar through my door, because I'm on the edge of Staffordshire. And,
yeah.
And it's a nice mix of, there is some useful adverts in there that you might want to use as well, but there's nice little local, you know, local stories and things like that as well.
Well, that's But yeah, I think using local businesses as well, it sort of helps the local economy, doesn't it? Because the profits stay in the town, you know. Mm. But yeah, we all shoot off to the big supermarkets and everything, and then but the profits go elsewhere, don't they? But at least if you're using local people, you know, you're sort of you're helping the town, aren't you? So you know, we're encouraging everybody to use them anyway.
Well, I know not a lot of local businesses can actually afford to spend that much on advertising, so I'd imagine something like yourself is going to be quite reasonable to put an advert
in as well. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we wanted to make it affordable for small businesses, and so I said, it was about 5 weeks from start, from when I had the idea, 5 weeks until we actually went to print, and we managed to get the first one out, and we got some advertisers on board, and you know, it was good. But I mean, with the magazine as well, it's something that, you know, people, I want people to get involved with it, you know. I want them to send in the stories and, you know, send them some jokes or have a bit of a moan if they want, whatever, you know, just to make it fun, and you know, we can all have a laugh along the way as well. So
you've got a couple of competitions with the first issue as well, including one to design a flag for Willenhall.
Oh, that's right, yes, you've got to design a flag, and they're picking the winner on Thursday night, Jason, so I hope your mum's got a design in.
Oh, I know she was working on it.
I know she was working on it one day, so
I don't know what she's done. But, I mean, that in association with Poundlander, obviously, big building in the on the skyline of Willenhall these days, and they're joining in with that one. But it's that sort of community activity that you don't often get a chance to get these days, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Well, I mean, local group Willenhall Away launched the competition, and we just wanted to help push the idea along, really. And Callie, who runs the group, she's a fantastic work promoting the town, and, you know, we're going to be working together on future projects as well. But, she's had a great response. And, of course, we had the competition for the meal for two at Burt's Bistro as well, so I've got to get that one in.
You got a mention of Burt and his bistro.
Yeah, and we've picked the winner, and we shall be there to take photographs, and you know, we won't be there all the way through the meal, obviously, but you know,
that'd be a little bit off-putting when you're halfway through your starter, someone's still snapping pictures. But where is it going to, and how do people get a copy if they're not in an area that gets delivery already?
There's going to be dedicated areas that people can actually go and pick one. There's Crazy Wicks in the marketplace at the moment. If you go in there, you can just take one off the counter. You can email us and we'll get one to you if you haven't received one. That's willingnormagazine@aol.co.uk. But hopefully everyone will be receiving one, so they can pick one up if they don't get one, if we don't manage to reach them.
And how far out are you going to be expanding your magazine? Are you hoping to to go the whole of the West Midlands, or is that a bit too too much?
Well, yeah. I mean, at the moment we're just covering Will and all, and who knows? We might have a Blockswitch magazine in a few months, but at the moment we're dedicating all our time to Will and all. So.
Well, as a Will and all lad, I applaud you. That's all I can say. But there we are. It's about time we had something like that, for definite. Okay, Stuart, great speech. You keep up the good work, and if people are advertised, same email address as well, I guess.
Yeah, it is, yeah, brilliant.
Well, can they give you a call as well?
Yeah, they can give us a call, 0808 189 0755, and that's a free phone number.
Okay, brilliant. So, once again, thank you for joining us, and keep up the good work.
Cheers, Jason.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Bye. Let's take some more music by Alex Farman. This is Shall I Pretend?
Shall I pretend that I am strong? Shall I pretend I can't be hurt? Shall I pretend to know no wrong? Or shall I be me? Shall I pretend that I know you? Shall I pretend to understand? Shall I pretend to know the answers? Or shall I be me? Shall I pretend that I know love?
I know love.
Shall I pretend I feel like I belong?
Feel like I belong.
Shall I pretend?
Shall I be me? One of my colleagues who's over here at the moment in Brazil is Jose. And where are you from? Because you've got an interesting set of accents and language skills.
I'm originally from Mexico City. I lived there for about 17 years. Then I moved to Sao Paulo, Brazil. Lived there for 2 years. And from there, I went up to the cold in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
So almost naturally, you're a Manchester United supporter.
I am.
So how did that come about? Why did you randomly choose Man U?
My very first full soccer match that I watched was the Champions League in 1999 when Manchester United pulled off that miracle comeback against Bayern Munich.
And what are you looking for this year then?
I'm hoping for Europa League at least.
But it's been an interesting time from your footballing allegiances, hasn't it? But you've also been following the basketball back home whilst you've been here.
I have. Actually, the Wisconsin Badgers just won the game against Arizona yesterday to make it into the Final Four.
See, I have no idea on that one at all. I have done scoring in basketball in a league in Birmingham for a while, and it's just a very confusing sport, and you have to watch closely to see what's going on.
That's what I think about rugby.
Yeah, okay, well, let's not go there with rugby. Okay, right. Now, Thiago, you're over here as well. You're actually situated in Brazil. You're one of my colleagues who lives in the Niterói office pretty much permanently. And you love Botafogo.
Yeah, it's a very good team in Brazil. We are back on the Libertadores champion finally, and we are going to win this year. I have a supporter from Flamengo here that doesn't agree, but I believe he's going to lose his next game for MLAC now.
Yeah, so Jobs, you're actually one of the Flamengo. That's another of the four teams, I think, that are in Rio, yeah?
Yeah. We have four big teams in Brazil. In Rio, Flamengo, Vasco, Fluminense, Botafogo. Of course, Flamengo is the best one, and probably Flamengo won the Libertadores Cup, despite of the comment of my colleague here, Thiago.
And Thiago, I mean, we've been along to see matches actually in the Maracana Stadium with Botafogo. And you're going to come and see a Wolves match, aren't you, when you're in the UK?
Yeah, for sure. Let's see Wolves. I have a t-shirt now and I might use it. This next game, Botafogo will be much better than the other, for sure. Jason's going with us, so he can speak by himself too.
Yeah, and I'll be along at the stadium later on this week before I get back, before next week's programme and everything else we've got going on the weekend. But so thank you all. So to sign off, we need to have something in Portuguese as we're here in Brazil. And who's volunteering to come up with an appropriate Portuguese sentence? Luciana, at the other end of the room. So Luciana, what are your words of wisdom in Portuguese?
Brasil é o melhor país para se viver.
And what does that mean in English?
Brazil is the best country to live.
Brilliant. Thank you all.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.